Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids, a Friday morning talk show, and you are encouraged to join us in conversation. Phone numbers are 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Join us at any point during the program if you would like to ask a question or offer a comment. We'll cease whatever else is going on and go right to your phone call, so don't be shy. And there are likely to be some questions concerning today's subject because there is a certain amount of a background controversy, but I don't want to dive right into that. Instead, I'd rather just welcome the host of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dr. Triana. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, we have a lot of information to cover today, but we are welcome to questions. Uh-huh. And last week we had a repeat show.
Yes.
Which I've already gotten wonderful feedback from listeners about.
The MUFA and the PUFA.
The MUFA and the PUFAs. And I was, last week, I was Doctor of the Day of the House of Representatives in Tallahassee.
I don't think I realized somewhere along the line that this wasn't your first year. You do this annually. You do this every year.
This is my 11th year.
Wow.
So, and it's such an honor because not only do I get to take care of anyone in the Capitol who gets sick, mm-hmm. they have a clinic there, mm-hmm. but I get to sit with my representative in the chambers, mm-hmm. which this year was Dr. Paige Kriegel. Mm-hmm. We also have Mr. Roberson is also another representative from our area. And it's just very interesting to be in the thick of it.
Right there where it all goes down.
Yes. And Tallahassee is beautiful. So I really enjoyed that. That's my 11th year. And God willing, I'm hoping to be there until I'm 100.
You'll have to. I know that you told me that the photographer who does the official photography during that last session is going to send you photographs. You'll have to either make sure they get up on your website or pass them on over to us. We'll put them up on the WCCFAM.com website because I think everybody would like to see those.
Oh, yes. It'd be great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And I also, I went and I think I talked about this. I read for Dr. Seuss. Mm-hmm. That was the Friday before that. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting to read in Spanish, Green Eggs and Ham, mm-hmm. to all these wonderful little kids. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that a lot. And I'm just very impressed with the elementary school. That was at Neil Armstrong mm-hmm. Elementary. And the school is beautiful. And all the artwork and all the writings the kids have. Anyways, I was very, very impressed.
As I'm sure they were with you.
And thank you. But the best thing, which I feel, is encouraging kids to read. So today, one more thing I want to talk about mm-hmm. is March is National Nutrition Month.
Okay. Well, you know, here we are halfway through, and I had no idea there was an emphasis. There should always be an emphasis on nutrition, Todd. Okay.
Yes. And it is eatright.org, and it's the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and their promotion is Get Your Plate in Shape.
That's it.
So I thought that was interesting that you looked at the website, and they mm-hmm. say the tip of the day is to eat green for St. Patrick's Day.
Americans of every heritage should eat green fruits and vegetables is what it says here, and of course that's a point I think we all know but maybe don't think of enough. There's a question of the day here. How much sodium is in one teaspoon of salt? Something we covered on a recent program. Mm-hmm. A lot of good information. Very chock full of information.
Right. I think that's really good for everyone to look at. And as you know, I also archive all our shows on the TrianaPreventionCenter.com for anyone who wants to listen to our previous shows, mm-hmm. which can be listened to standalone, or you can listen to them all.
And I also know that there's a link there for you to visit the archive of newsletters and also subscribe to the newsletter.
Right. We have a newsletter. And in fact, we just talked about spring, and don't forget your colonoscopy, which is important. If you're over the age of 50, you should have a colonoscopy mm-hmm. every 10 years for cancer screening.
Okay.
So we're going to start now about the history of statins.
Statins.
What is a statin? Statins are medicines that are used to decrease the lousy cholesterol, the LDL.
Okay.
And also has your liver increase the LDL receptors to take away cholesterol from your blood.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to reference this website, which is incredible. It's called pubmed.gov.
P-U-B as in boy.
Yeah.
Med.
Dot gov.
All one word, dot gov.
And it's the National Library of Medicine.
Okay.
And it's part of the National Institute of Health. So it's an incredible website. And I read this incredible paper from Dr. Akira Endo, who is the discoverer of statins.
Okay.
And to go back to statins, we need to go back to the beginning. Cholesterol was isolated from gallstones in 1784.
Oh, wow.
So we've known about this since 1784. I mean, that's
a long time, and really, I don't remember hearing that much about it when I was a kid, and that's not that long ago.
1784.
Wow.
In 1988, also a very famous botanist found the formula of cholesterol. And in 1927 and 1928, now, you know, I was born, I will tell everybody, I was born in 1957, okay? The 20s, people knew about the structure of cholesterol, and these two scientists, Weiland and Windaus, won the Nobel Prize of Chemistry.
Really?
So I want everybody to go all the way back and look at how much. This is what's wonderful about history is it tells us who we are and what we are. And it's like a building block and it builds and builds and builds. Because I feel that if people understand the historical perspective of the discovery of statins, they might say, well, I understand that better now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go into in other programs how they work, what type they are.
So we have several statin programs on the horizon, in other
words. Yes, we do. And if anybody has a question, they can call in. So this was a question called the lipid hypothesis. So people didn't put together right away about cholesterol and vascular disease, arteriosclerosis, but they did in 1910. There was a pathologist who took a plaque and found that there was 20-fold amount of cholesterol in the plaque of an artery as opposed to a normal artery that didn't have a plaque. So already, this was in 1910. In 1913, there was a pathologist who noted that if you feed rabbits cholesterol, they develop arteriosclerosis.
Okay, so the connection was there.
Okay, so the connection is building. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you see the connection?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in science, you may think it, but you got to prove it. You have to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And one knowledge builds on the other knowledge. In the 40s, they started to do research because they used to think that, you're getting old. That's why you're getting cholesterol in your arteries.
The hardening of the arteries was an old person's disease.
Right. It's not. It's not just a consequence of aging.
Okay.
In 1939, it was discovered that there were these families that had very high cholesterol. And they had a genetic disease called familial hypercholesteremia. So we're talking cholesterol of 800.
Wow. And normal is?
Normal, we want it less than 200.
Oh, brother.
These people, families who had this, kids would be having heart attacks around the age of 5.
Oh, my gosh.
The cholesterol was so high. If they were what called homozygous.
Mm-hmm.
If they had heterozygous, their cholesterol was between 300 and 400. And people were getting heart attacks between the age of 30 and 40.
So this is a genetic disorder?
There's a genetic disorder, and we're going to have a program on that.
Interesting.
But I'm trying to build up. Even in 1939,
they started
the cholesterol. Yeah. All this is building up. Cholesterol, plaque, plaque in your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
In 1964, there was two scientists who won the Nobel Prize, Bloch and Linen, for they discovered the pathway of the synthesis, in other words, of cholesterol. Mm-hmm. How is cholesterol made in our body? What are the little building blocks that make cholesterol?
Mm-hmm.
So all this is coming together. There were also, besides research, there were these epidemiological studies. In the 1950s, there was a Dr. Goffman who knew how to break down what we call the LDL, the plasma lipoproteins, HDL, by centrifuge.
Okay.
Okay. And he noted, I remember this is in the 50s, that the greater the cholesterol, the more these patients had heart attacks.
Okay.
The greater the LDL. And that patients who had low of the healthy cholesterol, the HDL, had less heart attacks. So, and in the mid-60s, which, again, we're building up, there was found to be what's called the seven-country study. And that was Ansel Keys, who noted that, again, high cholesterol, more chances of a heart attack.
It's becoming fairly, like you say, the building blocks.
It's building up to...
It's become a fairly good-sized wall of building blocks now with a body of evidence.
More and more body of evidence and more studies. In 1961, Framingham study was started, which talked about, again, high cholesterol. Now, remember, not everybody who has high cholesterol, and we'll go into that deeper, but we're just talking about the building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
The higher the cholesterol, the more chance of a heart attack.
Okay.
Okay. And they also looked at other risk factors, which we have spoken about, smoking and high blood pressure. So the evidence is building up. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is before, I mean, nowadays, most of us take it for granted that the high cholesterol numbers, especially the bad cholesterol, is one of the causes of heart disease. It's a given. But try to go back to a time when they were still uncovering these links.
They're uncovering. There was another study they called the 4S study, and that was later on. But in 1984, the NIH also had a study. Now, that's already far beyond what we were talking about in the 60s.
It's National Institute of Health, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. NIH. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the story of how a statin was discovered.
Yes.
I think everybody knows a little bit about antibiotics.
Basic stuff.
Okay. In 1928, Fleming discovered penicillin.
Mm-hmm. The old moldy bread story?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was a Petri dish.
Uh-huh.
And he noticed that he had put bacteria was growing. But then there were certain spots, this mold grew, and around it, the bacteria had died.
Oh, okay.
And it was from this mold, the penicillin mold, that penicillin was discovered.
Okay. So that's 1928.
That's 1928. Okay. So Dr. Endo, who grew up in Japan in a farming community, grew up learning and interested in mushrooms and molds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he was inspired by Alexander Fleming. And he noted, and I quote, because I'm going to give him his quote.
Okay.
Antibiotics shown to inhibit many different kinds of enzymes, not only in bacterial cells, but also in mammalian cells. So,
what does that mean?
That means that antibiotics will stop a step of one chemical pathway to another chemical pathway.
not just in bacterial growth, but in other ways.
And other systems, which mammalian means like humans,
right.
Mammals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it was discovered that when they discovered the way cholesterol was made, there is an enzyme that makes one molecule go to the other molecules. It's a pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that rate-limiting step is called HMG/COA reductase.
Wow.
Okay? So it is, and I don't want to get so technical, but I want people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
There is a step in the process of making cholesterol, and that is where the statin works.
When you say making cholesterol, you mean the body making cholesterol?
Your body makes cholesterol, and other cells make cholesterol.
Is there, there's cholesterol in certain foods also,
yes,
correct?
That's exogenous. That's what we take in.
Okay.
But we could live our whole life and never eat cholesterol, and our bodies make it because they need it for your cells.
That's
remember we talked about the cell membrane?
Mm-hmm.
You need it for your cell membranes.
Mm-hmm.
It's also needed for your hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the building blocks. So one of the building blocks in making cholesterol,
mm-hmm,
there's a step where there's an enzyme that says, if you block that enzyme, you stop the process from going.
Your body doesn't make cholesterol.
It won't make the cholesterol.
Okay.
If I have a car and I need to go from point A to point B and somebody ties down my wheels and I can't move, then that mm-hmm is the rate limiting step. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, my wheels don't move. I can't go anywhere mm-hmm in my car.
I see exactly what you're talking about. I envision actually there's a bridge out between point A and point B and you can't go across.
You can't go
that's
across.
It
doesn't go there.
All right.
So that enzyme is where statins work.
Okay.
All right. We know that now, but this is, remember, we're building up to the story.
It's taken the better part of almost 300 years to get to this point, so.
Which is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to think that these scientists are saying, you know, I'm going to think out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to understand the process of how point A goes to point B,
mm-hmm,
to goes to C. And then I'm going to find out what I can do to keep that process from going on.
Okay.
Just like Fleming discovered antibiotics and they discovered that it would kill bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happens is, they knew already in the early 50s, 1959, that they could limit the process of cholesterol being made.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a medicine, that was a chemical that didn't work out. You know, there's always a little bit of trial and error mm-hmm before you get to the final steps.
So in the 50s, they proposed a certain chemical that would,
yes,
stop the formation in the body, but that chemical didn't prove to do what they thought.
No, at the final stage, it was called tripernol.
Okay.
Okay. So going back to Dr. Endo, here he is. He suspected and he speculated that a fungus would make, like a fungus that mm-hmm produces antibiotics,
mm-hmm,
that you could produce an antibiotic that would inhibit that enzyme,
mm-hmm,
HMG-COA reductase.
There it is again.
Okay. That rate, what we call a rate-limiting step for the production of cholesterol. So he found what he called a gift from nature.
Mm-hmm.
He went through all these different moldy broths. Can you imagine that?
Not really.
But, you know, he was dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I am going to find something. And yes, he did. He even came to the United States because he wanted to study under the doctor that found how cholesterol is made.
Mm-hmm.
But He went to study with another doctor at Albert Einstein, and he found, wow, the Americans really have a rich, much richer diet than the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And he noted that a lot of Americans were dying of heart attacks. This was in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
The year I was born.
The year you were born. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're building up. Cholesterol is being discovered. How it's made in the body, the chemical pathways, the chemical of what and how it's produced in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1976, Dr. Endo, which wrote a paper about, he found the antibiotic.
Of those moldy broths
of those
that
moldy
he was searching
broths.
Through.
And it was called Compactin. And I think this is an amazing story because one scientist is inspired by another scientist and wanting to see, because we know that cholesterol and vascular disease are associated.
Yes.
Okay? So now, he also, in 1973, two doctors, Brown and Goldstein, who ended up winning the Nobel Prize also, found that in these patients, remember we talked about the genetic disease called familial hypercholesterolemia?
Yes, yes.
Well, these people, their HMG-CoA reductase was out of control.
Okay.
There was nothing regulating it.
Mm-hmm.
So cholesterol was being produced in the levels of 800.
And again, this is what's being produced by their own bodies. This
by
is not
their
necessarily
own
their
this
intake.
This is, yes,
okay.
Your own body. So the first statin was discovered in and was they did research, and it was called Compactin. However, at that time, they didn't know what was the dosage to use, and they used very high dosages, which did not work out, and it had some side effects with their, they did studies on dogs.
Uh-huh.
So the next step was the development of a medicine called lovastatin, which was also isolated from nature.
Okay.
From mold, from fungi.
Again, mold.
Okay. And Merck, which is another pharmaceutical company, discovered this lovastatin. And at the same time, Dr. Endo also discovered it.
Same time, simultaneously.
At the same time, about 1979.
All right.
And in 1987, now what year are we now? 2012.
Mm-hmm.
In 1987, the first statin, commercial statin, came out called lovastatin.
How about that?
1987. Now, I've been practicing since 1985. And I was also prescribing statin in the 80s.
Mm.
After it came out, of course.
You said that the simultaneous discovery occurred in about 1979,
and, right.
And then the first commercial application came about in 1987. That's an 8-year delay.
Yes.
What was the cause of that?
Because of the research, they were trying to, at that time, there was some concerns, would there be problems with side effects?
Okay.
Which we will talk about. Every thing you put in your mouth, put on your skin, has the potential to have a side effect.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a good side effect or a not good side effect.
Well, I think a lot of people recognize that the travel of a promising product like you've described through the FDA process and all the testing and so forth, it takes quite a bit of time. Is that typical time, 8 years or something like that?
Actually, I think it's even longer.
Is it? Okay.
The point being that it was a gift from nature, as Dr. Endo said.
Mm-hmm.
And that gift of nature has decreased heart attacks by 30%.
That much?
30 million people are taking statin medications.
Mm-hmm.
And it lowers, now this is as a group, cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol, by 25 to 35%. Now, in future programs, we're going to go into further to understand what were the studies and more about the statins.
Okay.
But I wanted to give a historical perspective from someone who was the discoverer of statins. And if you read his article, it's so fascinating. And the whole thing is, it was a gift from nature that was inspired by another scientist. And it's a gift of nature that we are now able to incorporate to help us for more good years of life.
You know what I think is interesting about what you just said is I think there's a tendency in the layperson like myself to think that if a pharmaceutical company is producing it, this is not in any way an endorsement, nor is it any way detracting from pharmaceuticals. Just a statement. If it comes from a pharmaceutical company, it's probably all chemicals. But what you're saying is this particular class of drugs, the statins, it came from nature. It was there. We just needed to find it.
Yes. Now, there are semi-synthetic and synthetic. Synthetic means they're mm-hmm. formulated. But the original statin came from nature.
Mm-hmm.
Aspirin came from the willow bark.
Mm-hmm.
The Greeks were chewing willow bark. They knew that.
Mm-hmm.
They were chewing. And then that's another story which we'll go into. So scientists have been inspired by nature. And then they learn the chemical formulas. And sometimes, and many times, they go beyond and formulate other formulations that look like the original from nature.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe does something more specific.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not here to teach everybody chemistry. I'm here for everybody to understand the perspective. And in our next shows, we're going to talk about more how it works, why some are semi-synthetic statins, the different type of statins, and how they work. And some of them live longer, stay longer in our body. Some of them are metabolized quicker. But I really think that the beauty of nature.
Now, it provides us with so many, in this case, hints that point us down a certain road and direction that ends up being life-saving. I think that statistic you said a moment ago is worthy of repeating, too, that since the advent of statins, we've seen a 30% decrease in heart disease.
And heart attacks.
Heart attacks.
Yes.
Yes.
And statins, we're going to go through the different studies that proved it, the epidemiological studies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about them so, again, people can put clearly a picture of where the studies, the information builds on the information,
mm-hmm.
in order to help prevent disease. As you know, in the Triana Prevention Center, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have more good years, quality of life, prevent disease. It's not just medicines. It's also, as we just talked about, nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Every program, we build on the preceding programs mm-hmm. that we've talked about. So I think it's just very interesting and exciting to study history. I'm a history buff.
I was going to say, you said you don't want to teach chemistry. This is more of a history lesson today. I enjoy
yes.
this a lot.
But remember, it was the reductase, HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor, and that's what a statin is.
Okay.
It keeps step A to go to step B.
Stops it in its tracks, so to speak.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we wrap everything up, and there may be time to sneak in a quick phone call if you wanted to ask a question, by the way, 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. Before we wrap everything up, though, let's give you the details about Dr. Triana and the Triana Prevention Center, where they are, what services they offer. You are still accepting new patients.
Yes. Okay. I'm a family medicine doctor, mm-hmm. and I accept patients. And also, I am a lipidologist,
mm-hmm.
And I also accept patients who want consults in the prevention of heart attack, stroke, and diabetes.
Okay. Now, the center itself is on Harbor in Port Charlotte.
Right. 3155 Harbor Boulevard.
Right behind the Promenades Mall.
Yeah, right behind the Promenades Mall. And I, again, as I've said, I have a wonderful staff. And I'm very blessed. I love to take care of my patients.
A group of nice ladies there to greet you with a smile, answer your questions. If you want to make a phone call and just follow up on something you heard on the program, maybe you're too shy to talk on the radio or you got too busy, you can always follow up later. What's the office phone number?
941-625-1990.
And there's a website you can visit that is just chock full of information. I got to compliment you with all the radio shows and the newsletter archives. There's so much to read and find out about, which is Triana Prevention Center, all one word,
right,
.com. And Triana is T-R-I-A-N-A, just
right
to clarify.
Triana Prevention Center. So if I feel that, I mean, this is not my saying. I do believe it, though, that knowledge is power and the power to have a healthier life.
Wonderful. And that's what this program is all about. We thank you for coming in today and sharing with us once again. Look forward to next Friday.
Thank you. Good health.